So you recently joined your new team or your new job, and you spent the first couple of weeks just getting familiar with the services that you work with and the systems and all that. And now it's time for your first on-call shift. And the first couple of days are pretty fine. A couple of like small problems here and there, some routine maintenance, but nothing you can't handle. You're doing this well. Then a Saturday afternoon, you're chilling at home, and suddenly your phone buzzes. You glance over and says this: "Now what? How are you going to tackle this? How are you going to approach this incident?" My name is Michael Gorvin. I'm a production engineer at Facebook. And today I'm going to propose to you 7 steps for tackling an incident. Now, it's very easy when faced with a big outage or some kind of serious problem to either become paralyzed with fear or to run around like a headless chicken and not actually accomplish anything. And so before you actually start doing anything, I think it's important to get yourself into the right mindset. And so step 0 is don't panic. Now, there are a couple reasons why you don't need to panic. Firstly, you shouldn't be alone. Even though you may be the on-call for the specific service, for serious incidents, you should always have the support of your team members and from other people in the company to help resolve this. You should never be the only person responsible. At Facebook, resolving big incidents is always a team effort. It's never a one-man show. Secondly, you shouldn't be at risk of getting fired. You shouldn't get fired for not fixing an incident quickly enough, and you shouldn't get fired for causing an incident. We're all human, we make mistakes, and the systems we work with are so complex, it is inevitable that things are going to break from time to time. If you are at a company where you're at risk of getting fired, it's maybe time to find a better job. And thirdly, it's probably not the end of the world. Facebook is a massive service used by billions of people around the world, but at the end of the day, people aren't directly reliant on Facebook for their survival. And the same is probably the same for your service. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't take our job seriously and try to run the highest quality service possible. I'm just saying that you should keep things into perspective. You're probably not going to start World War III by being down for a little time. Now, one's first inclination, it's a big problem, is often to dive right to the bottom of the stack where that error is happening and start trying to understand why things are breaking there. But it's actually important to first take a step back and assess the impact. This is important because it's going to inform some of the other steps we may need to take. So we need to know 2 things. Firstly, what's broken for our users? What are our users not able to accomplish because of this problem existing? Can they not send messages? Can they not view their newsfeed? Can they not upload cat videos? What is the actual impact which our users are experiencing? And secondly, how broken is it? Is it broken 1% of the time or 100% of the time? Get some graph or some data which shows you the scale of the impact. It's also important to note here the scope of the impact. Is this affecting all of our users 1% of the time? Or is it affecting 1% of our users all the time? Because that's a very different experience for people to be having. Now, this shouldn't take you a long time to figure out every time something breaks. And if it does, you need to put some time into improving dashboards to make it easy to assess the impact when things do break. Now that we know what the impact is, it is time to think about communication within the company. And the major question is whether to file some kind of incident announcement. Now at Facebook, we call incidents SEVs, and we have a tool called SEV Manager. And it serves 2 purposes. After the incident, it becomes a place to document and follow up about what happened. But during the incident, it is a way to announce to the company that the problem is known about and provides a place to communicate and coordinate the response. You need to have some mechanism of informing the rest of the company about big problems and provide a place where people can communicate about that. Now, sometimes you may assess the impact and actually, it's not a big incident. It's just kind of a small smoldering fire, and you don't need to get everyone involved. but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be alone. A model which works well for the team I'm on are investigation groups. These are Facebook groups which we use for the same kind of purpose, but at a smaller team level, and with less urgency. We'll post about problems that we notice, and there's a way for other team members to be aware of it and provide a place to communicate about it. Now, if you have multiple places where you have real-time discussion, i.e. chats, maybe different systems or just different channels within a system, it is important that you advertise where the discussion about this incident is happening. It needs to be easy for anyone in the company to get involved in that discussion if they need more details or if they can contribute to the recovery. And then it's time to think about whether you need to get hold of specific people, if the incident is severe enough. Maybe you need to get hold of specific team members because it's a part of the service that you're not very familiar with. Maybe you need to get hold of some other experts within the company because this seems to be a massive scope and you're going to need more input. Or maybe you need to get in touch with the incident manager. The incident manager's role is to coordinate the overall response to the incident, making sure that we have the right people involved working on the right things, and to interface with other parts of the company like PR. The incident manager should be there to support and guide you through an incident. It is better to over-escalate early, maybe turning out to be needlessly, than to delay escalation and involvement for a serious incident. So your company should be comfortable with getting people woken up and involved and it turning out not to be necessary, rather than delaying this and extending the impact of a problem. Now, have you ever wondered how some people seem to be able to very quickly identify the source of a problem? Something breaks, and a couple minutes later, someone shows up and they've got the answer. The secret is that the majority of problems are caused because something changed. Either a human or a piece of automation made an explicit change to the way the infrastructure works, and that triggered the problem. And so the trick is being able to find that change. We need two things to do this. Firstly, we need to know what time the problem started. Now, on Facebook, exact means about a minute resolution. There is so much changing our infrastructure that we need a very small time window to narrow down the culprits. Now, the graph we got in the first step, assessing the impact, is often a bit too high level for this, because the user impact can often lag the actual start of the problem. So you want to go a bit deeper down the stack here, to the service or the code level, to find when the problem first started occurring. And secondly, we need a bit of detail about the problem. Have a look at the error message, the stack trace, and get a sense of what kind of functionality this is related to. Now, this isn't about fully understanding the error. It's just about getting a bit of context to help you filter out those changes and identify the relevant ones. And then it's time to see what changed. Maybe you pushed some new code. Maybe someone changed some runtime configuration. Maybe some SharePoint Puppet changes got deployed. Maybe an instance in your container virtualization system was started or stopped. There are probably a whole bunch of places which can change the way your infrastructure works. Now, going to look at 10 different places every time something breaks wastes a lot of time. So a tool which is very powerful at Facebook is a centralized change database. This is a very simple database and web service in front of it, which all these other systems publish events to when changes are made, and provides us with a single place to go to look for events within the window we're interested in and do some basic filtering based on tags. If you don't have something like this, it is certainly something worth considering. So let's say that we weren't able to find a change. Now it's time to think about mitigation. Can we improve the experience the user is having despite this problem actually existing? Maybe the problem is in some kind of non-critical functionality. Can we turn it off and restore some functionality even if it's degraded? Or maybe the problem is happening in a certain data center or a certain region. Can we drain traffic from that data center, serve users out of our good data centers while we figure out what's going on? Now, doing this requires having the right runtime controls to control what functionality is enabled or disabled and to control where traffic is going in your system. If you find during an incident that you could theoretically have mitigated something, but you didn't have the right controls in place, make sure to follow up afterwards to add those for next time. Also keep an eye out here for missing error boundaries. Let's say that you have a request from the user and it's doing three independent things, and one of those things fail. Do you fail the entire request back to the user, or do you send two of the three things which you were able to complete? Was the blast radius of the problem bigger than it absolutely had to be? If so, make sure to follow up to add appropriate error boundaries to automatically limit the scope of a problem in that kind of area in the future. So let's say that we weren't actually able to mitigate it. Now it's finally time to dive in and investigate the root cause. This is obviously going to differ depending on what the problem is. You could be looking at stack traces. You could be reproducing in your development environment. You could be inspecting core dumps with the GDB. Whatever it is to actually understand the error itself, why it's happening, and how to stop it from happening. However, note that this is often the least important part during the incident itself. Finding a change which can be reverted or mitigating are often the faster avenues to restoring your user's experience. Of course, after the incident is resolved, it is crucial that you understand the root cause and properly fix it. But during the incident, finding a change and mitigating should be the first priorities. However, if you have enough people on board, you can parallelize this with the last couple steps. You can have one set of people looking for changes, a second set of people looking for mitigation options, and a third set of people investigating the root cause. And this is where the role of the incident manager really comes in to help coordinate the overall response to the incident, getting the right people working on the right things to try to get the fastest resolution possible. So we fixed it somehow. We reverted a change, deployed a mitigation, or we had to fix the root cause. And we're done now, right? A step people often seem to miss is to confirm that the user impact is actually gone. Yes, you fixed something, but are our users actually having a better time now? Maybe you fixed the wrong thing. The problem you were seeing in your infrastructure was not actually the cause of the user impact. Or maybe the problem just moved somewhere else. You drained one region, and then it popped up in another region. Make sure that you actually confirm that your users are having a better time now. It is also important that you communicate this within the company. There might be someone else in the company who is seeing some impact that you're not aware of, but they're not saying anything because they think you're still working on the problem. Once you communicate internally that you believe it's to be fixed, people can speak up if they're still seeing some impact that you aren't aware of. And then think about whether this could very easily re-trigger. Maybe this was caused by a normally safe operation, but due to some bug in your tooling, it suddenly had this problem impact. Or it was your customers putting some kind of weird rule in that was deployed to your entire fleet. If it's this kind of case, make sure to put safeguards into place immediately to protect from that until a proper fix is deployed. Now that it's resolved, it's time to clean things up a bit. Immediately after the incident, while everything is still fresh in your mind, take some time to record the details about the incident somewhere. The graphs and the data you looked at, the code changes, configuration changes, anything that's the error messages and stack traces, all that information that you went through to figure it out, dump that information somewhere, because you're going to start forgetting that in the next couple hours or days. Then sometime later, it's time to write up the incident report and document what happened. There are a couple important parts to the report. Firstly, there's the timeline. What are the events which led up to the incident and created the circumstances which allowed it to occur? When did the incident actually start? When did we become aware of it? When did the right people start working on the incident? When did we deploy mitigations? When did we fix it? When was the user impact gone? Record the entire timeline of what happened so we can understand how long each part actually took. Then there's the root cause. What was the actual problem? Why did it exist? How did we fix it properly? And then the most important part are the follow-ups. How are we going to make our infrastructure more reliable and resilient? At Facebook, we like to think about four things here. Detection. How did we become aware of the problem? Did we have the right alarms? And did the fire quickly enough? Could we improve detection so we know about this kind of problem sooner? Escalation. When did the right people start working on the incident? If we had to escalate between teams, how did that work? Did we know which teams to escalate to? Could we get hold of people? How quickly did it take us to get the right people on board? Recovery. How did we recover the user's experience? Were we able to mitigate it? Could we have mitigated it faster? Did anything slow down our investigation of the root cause? How could the recovery process have been faster? And finally, prevention. What safeguards and improvements in our infrastructure would have prevented this problem from happening in the first place? And finally, it's time for the incident review, otherwise known as a post-mortem, when a bunch of people get together to discuss what happened and to make sure that those follow-ups are comprehensive and we're doing all we can to improve our infrastructure. So, in conclusion, step zero is don't panic. You shouldn't be alone, you shouldn't get fired, and it's probably not the end of the world. Step one, assess the impact. Understand what's broken for your users and how broken it is. Step three, communicate within the company that the problem is known about and provide a place to coordinate the response. Step three, look for things that changed, which can easily be reverted to recover. Step four, try to mitigate the user impact by disabling functionality or shifting traffic around. Step five, dive in and investigate the root cause. Figure out why it's happening and fix it. Step six, confirm that the user impact is actually gone and communicate this within the company. And step seven, record and document what happened, devise follow-ups to improve your infrastructure, and have an incident review. Thank you very much.